بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, to protect his Muslim followers from whatever he feared for them. With the help of Allah, we have been going on telling the accounts of part of the Islamic history, and we specifically were talking about the Abbasid state. We mentioned that there were two rulers, Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah, and then his brother Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. And in the last class, we talked about some people who died during the caliphate or the rulership of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. Today, inshallah, we want to continue to tell about important Muslim figures who died during the rulership of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. And today we want to mention At-Tabaq al-Khamisa. He is from the fifth layer of At-Tabi'een. His name is Ja'far, the son of Muhammad, the son of Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ja'far is known as Ja'far al-Sadiq, Ja'far the truthful. He is the son of Muhammad al-Baqir. So his father's name was Muhammad, but he has a title, al-Baqir, which means the one who is very knowledgeable. And the father of Muhammad is Ali, who is known with the name Zainul Abidin. And Zain al-Abidin is the son of al-Shaheed al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu, who is the son of the fourth rightly guided caliph, Ali ibn Abi Talib, karramallahu wajha. Since we want to talk about Ja'far, we, during the exposition of the Umayyad's rule, we missed to talk about certain people who died during the rulership of Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik. And one of those who died during that time, about the year 125, is the father of Ja'far, Muhammad al-Baqir. So I'm going to talk about the father first, then we get back to the son to be in the chronological order, as we have been doing. So Muhammad, the son of Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, he is known as Abu Ja'far al-Baqir, or Muhammad al-Baqir, radiyallahu anhum. And he is, of course, a descendant of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Ali and Al-Husayn and Fatima. And his mother was the mother of is Ummu Abdullah, the daughter of Al-Hasan, the daughter of Ali radiyallahu anhu. This Muhammad or Abu Ja'far al-Baqir was born in the year 56 Hijri, during the time when Lady Aisha and Abu Hurairah, may Allah raise their ranks, were still alive. And he died in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara in the year 114. So he died at the age of 58, rahimahullah. He narrated from his grandfathers, specifically the grandfather محمد بن عبد الله the رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And of course he narrated from the other grandfathers Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn رضوان الله عليهما. And he narrated from other companions of the Prophet because he was a tabi'i. He narrated from Ibn Abbas, from Aisha, from Salama, Ibn Umar, Jabir, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. He narrated from some tabi'in, followers, Sa'id ibn Musayyab, from his own father, Zainul Abideen, from a relative of his, Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya, who was the son of Ali, and other people. And he narrated, but he did not have a lot of narration of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, many edicts or many answers, fatwas, were reported from him because he was very, very knowledgeable, radiyallahu anhu. From him, his son Ja'far, that we're going to talk about soon, narrated. And also Ata ibn Abi Rabah, if you remember, Ata ibn Abi Rabah is one of the teachers of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. And Ja'far, that we're going to talk about, also would be one of the teachers of Abu Hanifa. This is the father now, Muhammad. And he narrated from him narrated also the Shaykh of Imam Malik, Rabi'atul Ra'i, that we mentioned earlier, and Al-A'mash, whom we talked about our last class, Al-Awza'i. So you could see those are great scholars narrated from this great mujtahid and scholar, Muhammad ibn al-Baqir, Muhammad ibn Ali, Zain al-Abidin. And he was one of those who combined both knowledge and practice, trustworthiness, integrity, honor, trustworthiness, you know, being very respectful. And if you look at his qualities, he deserved to be one of those Muslim caliphs to rule the Muslims. He is one of those whom the Shia respect highly. They consider him as one of the 12 imams. But he, of course, was not a prophet of Allah, so he was not infallible, as some people believe about him. Because the prophets and the angels are the ones who do not commit sins. And Abu Ja'far, as we said, was a mujtahid, was a great imam. He was good, a reciter of Al-Quran. He was very respectable. And he, although, as we mentioned in the khutbah, we don't go to extremes. We do not say things that raise the person's rank beyond what Allah has set for them. And we do not put them down to below what they deserve to be. So we follow the middle course. We say about people what the religion allows us to say about them. One person named Salim, the son of Abu Hafsa, one time he said, I asked Abu Ja'far, means Muhammad al-Baqir, Ridwanullahi alayhi wa alabni. And I asked his son Ja'far. So I asked the father Abu Ja'far and the son Ja'far, al-Baqir and al-Sadiq, radiyallahu anhuma. He said, I asked him about Abu Bakr and Umar. And both said to me, Salim, the one who is narrating, he said, O Salim, be their supporter and disown their enemy. Be a supporter of Abu Bakr and Umar. Defend them. And he said, disown their enemy. Because both of them were imams of guidance. And although this Salim is known as to have like an inclination towards the Shia, still this man said this narration about these great two imams without changing anything in the narration. So if a person says the truth, then this person becomes trustworthy. And It is known that Ja'far, Muhammad al-Baqir, and we're going to talk about Ja'far later, inshallah, that they openly would speak highly of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar. So it means they were not hiding it, not saying it out of fear of Abu Bakr or Umar or the rulers after them. They were saying it out of their own conviction about these two great companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. He said that Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, Ridwanullahi alayhima, used to pray behind Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Remember, Marwan ibn al-Hakam was one of these Umayyad's rulers, and he was not a pious person. But still being the Khalifa or the ruler, so he would lead the prayer, the Muslims, you know, pray behind him. And Al-Hasan al-Husayn used to, like, go to line up behind this Marwan. But at other occasions when Al-Husayn would give speeches, he would speak against Marwan, that he was not a good ruler, etc. So if he wanted to, you know, like, act what they call tuqiyah, means that if he wanted to just say something and hide something, he would not dare to do that. This is, Al-Husayn is showing that he does not like Marwan, but he, of course, loves Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu, and Umar. It is mentioned that Abu Ja'far said, Abu Ja'far means Muhammad al-Baqir, said Abu Bakr about Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, I do defend them, I do support, means talk about them highly, and I ask Allah to forgive their sins. And he said, I did not catch up with any of my family, means Ahlul Bayt, Ridwanullahi alayhim, except but talk highly of these two companions, Abu Bakr and Umar. And one time he said, Banu Fatima have a consensus, means the descendants of the Prophet through Fatima. Ajma'a Banu Fatima, he said, it's a consensus among Banu Fatima, the children of Fatima, to say the best about Abu Bakr and Umar, the best they could say. Then, one time, the Salim, the one who told the first story, that he asked Abu Ja'far and Ja'far about Abu Bakr and Umar, and we said that he had inclinations toward the Shia. He said, I one time went in to visit Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn al-Baqir, who was sick, and he said to me, and he meant to say it to me, he said, I defend and support Abu Bakr and Umar. He said, I defend and support Abu Bakr and Umar. I love them. And if I have anything other than that in my heart, then may Allah not grant me the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad on the Day of Judgment. He says, means I don't deserve it. He said, if I had any hatred or any malice towards Abu Bakr and Umar, then may Allah not grant me the shafa'ah, the intercession of Muhammad on the Day of Judgment. His way of saying that, I do love them. One time another person said, I asked Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Ali, means Muhammad ibn al-Baqir, the son of Ali, Zainul Abideen. I asked him about decorating the swords, that sometimes on the handle of the sword they put certain decorations. So I asked him, what is the, you know, Islamic judgment about doing it? He said, not bad. He said, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had decorated his own sword. So he said, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq decorated his sword. So this man said, you say al-Siddiq about Abu Bakr? He said he was sitting, he jumped up, he faced the Qibla, and he said, yes, al-Siddiq, yes, al-Siddiq. The one who doesn't say al-Siddiq, his words would not be believed by anyone in this world, and in the next world. So he was making dua against the one who would not believe that Abu Bakr is As-Siddiq, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who called him that. As-Siddiq means the one who believed without any hesitation. When the Prophet called him to Islam, he did not hesitate. When the kuffar came to Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, making fun of the Prophet, telling him, look what your friend says, that he last night went to Jerusalem, came back the same night. He said, if he said that, then he's telling the truth. I believe in more than that. I believe that the revelation comes from the heavens down to earth. That's farther than Jerusalem. So I believe in that. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ called him As-Siddiq. Another person said, I said one time to Muhammad al-Baqir, he said the ayah, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So he said this ayah, he said, well, some people say this ayah is about Ali. Muhammad said, well, this is about the companions of the Prophet, and Ali is one of them. So if you say this ayah is revealed for Ali, it's correct. But it is for the companions of the Prophet, not just Ali. And Ali is just one of these companions. So all of these is just statements from Muhammad al-Baqir, a descendant of Ali ibn Abi Talib, about the great status that Abu Bakr and Umar, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, that they enjoyed among the Muslims. Somebody narrated about Muhammad ibn al-Baqir that he used to pray every day and night, other than the five obligatory prayers, 150 rak'ahs, means sunnah. And he was one of the tabi'een scholars of Al-Madinah, and the Huffaz, the ones who narrate the hadith of the Prophet, all agreed that his narration is acceptable. He was a trustworthy narrator of the Prophet. Hadith, Ridwanullahi alayhi. One time, Ja'far al-Sadiq, the son of Muhammad, said, my father put me, he narrated to him. So Muhammad is telling his son Ja'far. He said, one time my grandfather al-Husayn, remember Muhammad is the son of Zainul Abidin, who is the son of al-Husayn. So Muhammad said, my grandfather Al-Husayn put me in his lap. And he told me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says salam to you. Of course, it means that Al-Husayn somehow saw the Prophet in the dream, telling him, say, convey my salam to your grandson, Muhammad radiallahu anhu. One time a person said, I came to visit Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Ali, and I saw him mentioning his, you know, remembering his sins and crying. And also was crying about the wrong things that people were saying about him. Among his statements, من دخل قلبه ما في خالص دين الله شَغَلَهُ عَمَّا سِوَاهُ. He said, the one who get his heart occupied with the purity of the religion, being sincere to Allah in his worship, then his heart will be occupied from anything else. His heart would not be busy with anything of this world. He said, مَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَا عَسَى تَكُونَ. He said, what is this world? What is it? What will it be? He said, هَلْ هِيَ إِلَّا مَرْكَبٌ رَكِبْتَهُ. Is the dunya but something that you, like an animal that you ride, or a ship that you get on board? أَوْ ثَوْبٌ لَبِسْتَهُ. Or is the world but some clothes that you wear? أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٌ أَصَبْتَهَا. Or a woman that you married, for example. So the world is not but these things. So why are people busy attached to it? A narration from Al-Minhal ibn Amr from Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir, Ridwanullahi alayhim. He said, اذكروا من عظمة الله ما شئتم ولا تذكرون منها شيئا إلا وهي أعظم منه. He said, mention about the greatness of Allah whatever you wish. Means whatever you learned, mention how great Allah is. Whatever you mention, Allah is greater than that. قال واذكروا من النار ما شئتم ولا تذكرون منها شيئا إلا وهي أشد منه. He said, and mention about hellfire whatever you want, whatever you wish. Whatever you mention about it, hellfire is worse. Hellfire is more severe than what you say about. وَاذْكُرُوا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَا شِئْتُمْ وَلَا تَذْكُرُونَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَهِيَ أَفْضَلُ مِنْهُ. And he said, mention whatever you wish about paradise. Whatever you mention about it, al-Jannah is much better than what you said about it. Sufyan al-Thawri, one of those great mujtahids, said that one of the sons, one of the children of Muhammad al-Baqir, son of Ali, got sick. So he was worried about his son. Then, when the news of the son's death came to him, he became relaxed. When his son was sick, he was worried about him. So when he received the news that his son had died, the people noticed that he was relaxed. So they asked him, how come? He said, نَدْعُ اللَّهَ فِي مَا نُحِبْ. It means we ask Allah to give us what we like, what we love. Means my son was sick, so I would ask Allah to cure him, so I was worried about him. So نَدْعُ اللَّهَ فِي مَا نُحِبْ. فَإِذَا وَقَعَ مَا نَكْرَهُ. Now, if something that we don't like happens, like the death, for example, of a son, لَمْ نُخَالِفِ اللَّهَ فِي مَا أَحَبُّ. لَمْ نُخَالِفِ اللَّهَ فِي مَا أَحَبُّ. So if something that we don't like happens, then we don't go against what Allah willed to happen. We don't reject, we don't protest against what Allah willed for things to happen. It means that Allah willed for my son to die, then I submit to the will of Allah. I do not reject it. I do not protest against it. I do not speak against it. I am relaxed. I'm, submissive to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also among his statements, مَا دَخَلَ قَلْبَ امْرِئٍ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا نَقَصَ مِنْ عَقْلِهِ مِقْدَارَ ذَلِكَ. He said, anytime some arrogance enter the heart of a person, his mind misses as much. So when arrogance comes into the heart of a person, the result of having that amount of arrogance in the heart makes the mind lose the same amount from its own intellect. It means the person becomes less sane, as they say. وقال, and he said, سلاح اللئام قبح الكلام. سلاح اللئام قبح الكلام. He said, the weapon of the wicked are the ugly words. It means if you have some, let's say, difference with a person, and this person is wicked, then when he wants to express his difference with you, he starts using very ugly words. You could see people either fabricate things, and they say, cuss people, and so on. So he said, this is their weapon. So this was a small, a short account of Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, known as Muhammad al-Baqir. Now, so he died during the time of Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, during the Umayyads state. And as I said, we missed to talk about some of those people who died in the rulership, during the rulership of Hisham. Maybe later we'll make it up for you, inshallah. Now, during the time, the rulership of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, the Abbasi, the great Imam Ja'far, Ja'far al-Sadiq, Ja'far the Truthful, the son of Muhammad al-Baqir, the son of Muhammad, the very knowledgeable, the son of Ali Zain al-Abidin, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, died during that time. And, of course, he is from Quraysh, from Bani Hashim, because he is descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Ali and Fatima ridwanullahi alayhima. And his mother is known as Farwah. So let me go and try to summarize. Unfortunately, I don't have a board to make it more clear to you. But remember, we have Ali. Ali had Al-Husayn. Al-Husayn had Zainul Abidin. Zainul Abidin had Muhammad. And Muhammad had Ja'far. So this Muhammad, to have Ja'far, he must have married a woman. So that woman is called Farwah. So now, why are we emphasizing this? Because Ja'far al-Sadiq said, وَلَدَنِي أَبُو بَكْرٍ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَدَنِي أَبُو بَكْرٍ مَرَّتَيْنِ. He said, Abu Bakr gave birth to me twice. So let's find out why he said that. And he was saying it, you know, being proud about it, Ja'far. Abu Bakr had children, boys and girls, but he had two boys, Muhammad and Abdul Rahman. So you have two boys, Muhammad and Abdul Rahman. Muhammad had a son called Al-Qasim, and these were scholars, you know. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had Muhammad. Muhammad had Al-Qasim. Now, Abu Bakr had also another son called Abdul Rahman. And Abdul Rahman had a daughter called Asma. So we have now the second level, Al-Qasim, Ibn Muhammad. And we have Asma, the daughter of Abdul Rahman. Now, Al-Qasim, the son of Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr. Asma, the daughter of Abdul Rahman, the daughter of Abu Bakr, got married. So you have Al-Qasim and Asma. Those are grandchildren of Abu Bakr. They got married, they gave birth to this Farwa, whom Muhammad al-Baqir married, and then both they gave birth to Ja'far. So because his mother is from two branches of Abu Bakr, he says, Abu Bakr gave birth to me twice. This means I came from Abu Bakr through two branches of his own sons. And when he said it, he used to say it, you know, being proud about it. He was born in the year 80 Hijri. And he was very scholarly. He narrated from his own father, the one we talked about earlier, Muhammad al-Baqir. He narrated from other people like Urwa ibn Zubayr, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, and you could see this narration in Imam Muslim's Sahih. He narrated from his father, his grandfather Al-Qasim, who was one of the great seven great scholars in Al-Madinah. He narrated from Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, one of the great mujtahids of al-Tabi'in, the one who said, I worked on myself for 40 years until it became the way I wanted. He narrated from al-Zuhri. You heard his name many times during the Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and others. And he was among the most respected scholars of al-Madinah, Ja'far al-Sadiq radiyallahu anhu. From him, other people narrated. One of them is his son, Musa al-Kadhim, ridwanullahi alayhi. Also, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari. You will find those names among those narrators of the hadith of the Prophet. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa narrated from Ja'far. Ibn Jurayj, Sufyan al-Thawri, we mentioned him earlier. Shu'bah, Imam Malik, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And Ibn Muhammad ibn Thabit al-Bunani. Thabit al-Bunani was a friend, a follower of Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet. This is his son. So those narrated from Ja'far, ridwanullahi alayhi. One time, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, one of the great muhaddiths, he said, I said to Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, when there was a debate, I told him, what do you consider Ja'far, the son of Muhammad, means what is his status to you? How do you measure Ja'far ibn Muhammad? He said, thiqah, trustworthy. And remember when we mentioned last class that the scholars of Jarh and Ta'deel, the scholars who credit and discredit people, they have terminologies in which they say a person is acceptable or the person is not acceptable. And we said there are levels of acceptance and there are levels of non-acceptance. So when they say thiqah, this is one of the high levels of acceptance. So Al-Imam al-Shafi'i said that Al-Imam Ja'far radiyallahu anhu was a trustworthy person. And one time a person said, I heard Ja'far, the son of Muhammad, say to people, Saluni qabla an tafqiduni. Ask me before you lose me, means before I die. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُحَدِّثُكُمْ أَحَدٌ بَعْدِي بِمِثْلِ حَدِيثِي. He said, you're not going to find anyone who comes after me telling you what I tell you. This is, of course, it's not out of arrogance, it's out of telling the people, encourage them to acquire knowledge. And if the scholar knows that he could benefit people and he wants people to come to him, he would tell them such things that I am good at, come and benefit from me. Sometimes he doesn't do that. Sometimes he makes people come to him because the basic thing is al-ilmu yukta, that knowledge is sought. People should come to the scholar, not the other way. And sometimes the alim himself, the scholar, goes to the people, reach out to the people also. Sometimes he would be humble, does not say how much he learned, and sometimes he says, I'm good at, come and benefit from me. Okay? So it depends on the situation where he or she, of course the scholar could be a male or a female, if they find there is a benefit to do that or to do that, then they follow it. Abu Hanifa one time was asked, who is the most knowledgeable about fiqh that you ever saw? Of course, in his lifetime, means when Abu Hanifa was alive. He said, I haven't seen anyone who has more fiqh, more knowledge about the jurisprudence, more than Ja'far, the son of Muhammad. One time, a person said to Ja'far al-Sadiq, he said, I have a neighbor that claims that you disowned Abu Bakr and Umar. So a person came to Ja'far and he told him, I have a neighbor who claims you, Ja'far, disowned Abu Bakr and Umar. It means you don't consider them good people. فَقَالَ جَعْفَرْ Then Ja'far said, بَرِي اللَّهُ مِنْ جَارِكْ He said, may Allah disown your neighbor. Means may Allah punish your neighbor. He's saying a fabrication about me. قَالْ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَنْ يَنْفَعَنِ اللَّهُ بِقَرَابَتِي مِنْ أَبِي بَكْرِ He said, I swear by Allah that I hope that Allah would give me benefit because I have a blood relation to Abu Bakr. Remember, he said, Abu Bakr gave twice, birth twice to me. قال, وَلَقَدْ اشْتَكَيْتُ شِكَايَةً فَأَوْصَيْتُ إِلَىٰ خَالِي عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ الْقَاسِمِ And he said, one time I got sick, so I asked my uncle, maternal uncle, Abdul Rahman ibn al-Qasim, means to make dua for me. It means I consider anyone related to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr and anyone who is related to him as a precious person, trustworthy person, even I can ask them to make dua for me. Again, Salim, the one who mentioned something about Abu Ja'far and Ja'far, another narration, he said the same thing that defend them, support them, Abu Bakr and Umar. And he said, and disown the one who, you know, shows enmity to them. They were imams, two imams of guidance. Then Ja'far said, because the same story we told you what the father said. Now what Ja'far said, the son, Ya Salim, أَيَسُبُّ الرَّجُلُ جَدَّهُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ جَدِّي لَا نَالَتْنِي شَفَاعَةُ مُحَمَّدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنْ لَمْ أَكُنْ أَتَوَلَّاهُمَا وَأَبْرَأُ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِمَا. So Ja'far said to this man, Salim, would the person cuss his own grandfather? Abu Bakr was my grandfather. So, and he said, may the intercession of Muhammad not be granted to me if I don't support them or defend them and I do not disown their enemy. Again, someone said, I heard Ja'far say, ما أرجو من شفاعة علي شيئا إلا وأنا أرجو من شفاعة أبي بكر مثله. He said, Ja'far, to a person, whatever intercession I hope that I get from Ali, I hope the same to get from Abu Bakr. So he's just saying, as much as Ali is a good man and he would be interceding for some of his relatives, I hope that Abu Bakr will intercede for me. Because he's also another relative of mine. Ali is my grandfather from one branch, and Abu Bakr is my grandfather from other branch. So, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. He said, لَقَدْ وَلَدَنِي مَرَّتَيْنِ. And then he continues to say, Abu Bakr gave birth to me, or sired me twice. One time, he said, من زعم أني إمام معصوم مفترض الطاعة فأنا منه بريء. He said, Ja'far, that whoever claims that I'm an infallible imam and I must be obeyed, then I disown such a person. ومن زعم أني أبرأ من أبي بكر وعمر فأنا منه بريء. And the one who says I disown Abu Bakr and Umar, I disown such a person. One time Ja'far was asked about Abi Bakr and Umar. May Allah raise the rank of the three. He said, means Ja'far responded when he was asked about Abu Bakr and Umar, إِنَّكَ تَسْأَلُنِي عَنْ رَجُلَيْنِ قَدْ أَكَلَا مِنْ ثِمَارِ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, you're asking me about two people who have eaten from the fruits of paradise. It means those people are, the Prophet gave them the news that they will be in paradise, so they are winners. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ بَرِئَ اللَّهُ مِمَّنْ تَبَرَّ مِنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ وَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ مُتَوَاتِرٌ عَنْ جَعْفَرٍ الصَّادِقٍ. And Ja'far, there is a mutawatir statement, means people have conveyed it over time, large number of people. He said that, may Allah disown those who disown Abu Bakr and Umar. So all of these statements just corroborate together to show that the Ahlul Bayt, means the people who descended from Fatima and Ali, from the branch of Al-Hasan or the branch of Al-Husayn, all of these great imams, great descendants of the Prophet radhiyallahu alayhim, all of them had the same belief about Abu Bakr and Umar as Ali himself and Fatima herself, Ridwanullahi alayhima, that they were rightly guided caliph, they were loved by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they were pious, upright Muslims. Now, among the statements in Aqidah, means Ja'far radiyallahu anhu, he said, من زعم أن الله في شيء أو من شيء أو على شيء فقد أشرك. So one of the great statements of Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad Ridwanullahi alayhima, in the issue, in the matter of creed, in the belief, the basic things of Muslims, he said, whoever claims that Allah is inside something, or that Allah came from something, derived from something, or that Allah is on something, like I'm on this carpet. Whoever claims that, any of those, that Allah is in or from or on something, he said this man, this person is a mushrik. He's not a Muslim. He said, if, because, لو كان على شيء لكان محمولا. If Allah were on something, he would be carried by this thing. And that's not fitting, befitting to Allah. This earth, this ground is supporting me, isn't it? So I need it. Without it, I wouldn't be supported. I would go somewhere else. So I need it. So Allah wouldn't be like that. So if لو كان على شيء لكان محمولا. If he was on something, he would be carried. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي شَيْءٍ لَكَانَ مَحْصُورًا. And he, had he been inside something, he would be contained. Like we are in this building, so we're contained within the walls of this building. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ لَكَانَ مُحْدَثًا. And if Allah had derived from something, he would be created. Because if he came from something, means he was not, then he started existing. But Allah, what did he say in Al-Quran? لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He did not give birth to anyone, and no one gave birth to him. So he did not derive from anything. And this narration or this statement, very valuable, this statement of Imam Ja'far radiallahu anhu, was narrated in Al-Risala Al-Qushayriya. It is a book by Imam Al-Qushayri. It's narrated there. Some of the statements of Ja'far ibn Muhammad, la zada afdalu min at-taqwa. There is no provision, something that you keep and store. There is no provision that is better than piety, than fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala shay'a ahsanu min as-samt. And there is nothing better than silence. The Prophet said, man samata naja, the one who keeps silence is safe. The Prophet said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. The one who believes in Allah and the next life, let him say something which is good, or else be quiet, be silent. وَلَا عَدُوَّ أَضَرُّ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ. So he said, لَا زَادَ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ التَّقْوَى. There is no provision better than piety. وَلَا شَيْءَ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ الصَّمْتِ. And there is nothing better than silence. And he said, وَلَا عَدُوَّ أَضَرُّ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ. And there is no enemy which is more harmful than ignorance. وَلَا دَاءَ أَدْوَأُ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ. And there is no sickness which is more deadly or more sickening than lying, telling other than the truth. And then another statement of Ja'far radiallahu anhu, إِذَا بَلَغَقَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ. And this, you know, similar to what other scholars also say. So it's like the same education, the same spring, isn't it? The same well, they drink from the same place. إِذَا بَلَغَكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ مَا يَسُوءُكْ فَلَا تَغْتَمْ. If someone tells you about your fellow Muslim something that you don't like, do not be sad. فَإِنَّهُ إِن كَانَ كَمَا يَقُولُ كَانَتْ عُقُوبَةً عُجِّلَةً. It means if somebody comes and says, your dear friend so-and-so says bad things about you. He said, don't be upset because the news arrived to you, reached you, that this person is doing it. Because it's either true or false, isn't it? So if you get this news, do not be sad. Don't get, you know, upset about it. Because if he is telling the truth, means whatever you, if somebody said you are, for example, a thief. If it's true, then he said, كانت عقوبةً عجلت. So it means that you have been exposed. This is a punishment for you, which is given to you in this life instead of the next life, if it was true. وَإِن كَانَ عَلَى غَيْرِ مَا يَقُولُ كَانَتْ حَسَنَةً لَمْ تَعْمَلْهَا. Now if he was lying, this news that, you know, he said about you, and it was fabrication about you, then you earn good credit that you did not do. Because remember, on the day of judgment, the one who, you know, backbites people, or does injustice to people, what they take from his hasanat and they give it to the person who is being wronged. So he told him then, you will get some of his good credit if he was lying about it. So both ways you are a winner. Means you have been punished in this life before the other life. Or if it's false, then you earn reward for something you did not do. It's because of his deed you earn something. Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, remember we said Ja'far ibn Muhammad died during the rulership of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. There's two different Ja'fars, okay? This is Ja'far, the one we're talking about, the son of Muhammad. The ruler is called Abu Ja'far. Different, okay? So al-Mansur, let's say, one time, some flies fell on him. فَذَبَّهُ فَذَبَّ عَنْهُ فَأَلَحْ. And then al-Mansur, what did he do? He started, you know, moving these flies away from himself, but the flies come back. And this happens usually. So al-Mansur, the ruler, said to Ja'far radiallahu anhu, لِمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الدُّبَابَ. Why did Allah create flies? قَالَ لِيُذِلَّ بِهِ الْجَبَابِرَ. He said, Ja'far answered, Allah created the flies to humiliate the tyrants. MashaAllah. Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, Ridwanullahi alayhi wa ala abaihi, ila Ali, he died in the year 148 Hijri. And we already said that he was born in the year 80, so he was about 68 years old when he died. He had many children. The most honorable among them known is Sayyidina Musa al-Kadhim, Ridwanullahi alayhi. And the oldest was Ismail, the son of Ja'far, and he died when he was very young. He died 10 years before his father died. And then there were those people, his children had many children that are known to the scholars, means there is a tree of lineage to confirm whether or not a person was a descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the descendants of the Prophet are, you know, spread all over the Muslim world. And there are, you know, different branches from Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. Those are the two branches of Fatima and Ali, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And Allah knows the best. Inshallah, next time we'll talk about other people who died during al-Mansur's rulership. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.